Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in at 7 p.m., 319-527-6200. 404. You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. Praise be to God. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit. Welcome in the Holy Spirit. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Amen. Lord, the judge. Sometimes people rise up against me when I have not wronged them. In the book of Judges, the Israelites called to you because they had not wronged their enemy, and yet their enemy was raging war against them. They appeared to you as the judge to decide the dispute, as you do so well. I praise you for your justice, your scales of fairness, and for hearing my prayer when I am in need of justice. You are a righteous God, offended by evil and wholly devoted to justice. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. Let me be who I am.
When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm going to get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
Dear God, I want to thank you for all of the things you do that I never see, helping me get through each day safely, making sure my family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings that you do for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. And I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music and our prayers. To God be the glory.
In the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater.
your love endureth forever. Jehovah Hashopet, which means the Lord, the judge. In Judges 11 and 27, in the NIV says, I have not wronged you, but you are doing me wrong by raging war against me. Let the Lord, the judge, Jehovah Hashopet, decide the dispute this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites. Amen. Jehovah Hashopet, I confess that when I am wrong, I don't always turn to you for your justice. Instead, I throw myself a pity party. Forgive me for my episodes of self-pity. Help me know the confidence I can feel in your execution of judgment. Truly, you are able to render justice on my behalf better than I could ever. Please forgive me when I forget to call on you for your judgment. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. At this time, it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled True Insurance. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. The writer says, it is human nature to want to plan and create safeguards against all eventualities. We want to feel sheltered and protected. However, we can never fully anticipate the onslaughts we will face, either in this fallen world or spiritually. Our only complete defense is in Jesus. He is the only defender against evil who will ever be truly victorious in every situation. So there may be a specific problem on your heart today that you have no idea how to overcome or plan for, such as future financial security. What you will do if someone important is taken from you, or even the stability of the nation. It is wise to think ahead, but you cannot plan for everything. What you can and must do is seek the wisdom of the one who holds all things in his hand and obey him. Because when you do, the Lord prepares you for what you cannot see, carries you when you are helpless, and provides when you have no resources to draw from. Amen? Your first line of this, therefore, is to seek God and be sensitive to his guidance. walk in the center of his will, because that is always the safest and most victorious place to be. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it is always unto me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that no matter what I am, safest in the center of your will, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
You said, who is this that speaks of wisdom? Raise yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. And may you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
God. and permeate all my soul. Love of God overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours. All my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise be to God. Jehovah Hashopet, thank you for being a holy God, entirely righteous in all you do. Thank you for your heart of justice, which is faithful to your truth. Thank you for inviting me to turn to you when I'm in need and for assuring me that you know the truth even when falsehood is spread against me. While others seek war, my heart is for peace. I know you see this in me. Thank you for defending me when I'm unjustly opposed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore we'll be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. Praise be to God. You can call in at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. And right now, we are going to give God every praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
God.
Every praise.
Amen. Praise be to God. And welcome to the month of December, the last month of 2022, where it says Psalm 16:8 in the King James Version. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Praise be to God. In Psalms 23:3, in the NASB Bible says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The writer says, as I review my life, I realize that many of protocol events that occurred were moments I had little to do with. When I was 20 years old, I had no money to return to college my junior year. As I grumbled and groaned, my mother asked me to drive a friend to Mercy University to begin her freshman year. While unloading her baggage, I met a Mercy professor who told me about a scholarship that Mercy offers. I immediately visited the administration office, and 1 week later, I was a Mercy student. Now, 50 years later, I am retiring as a senior lecturer and director of the Institute of Life Purpose at Mercy University. Also, during my senior year at Mercy, I applied for a student mission program to teach school in Liberia, West Africa. Later, while being interviewed for the position by a student panel, I was rivened by a beautiful young woman I had not met. 2 years later, we were married, and Beth and I have now shared our lives together for 45 wonderful years. These two events have shaped and fulfilled my life, but in a sense, I had very little to do with them. So often the things we plan are not as important as the God-breathed surprise. We encountered God is always one step ahead of us, providing for our needs. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your joyful surprise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that came from walking in grace. Praise God. At this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play a short selection.
Yo, Rob, what's up, dog? Yo, man, I heard, man, they were telling me that you ain't rolling with us. What's up with that? Listen, man, I'm over here, man. I got a C, man. Let's do this. Let's do this, bro. What up? Rob? Rob, are you there?
Can't hold.
Amen. Can't turn back now. Again, at this time, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we are waiting, praise be to God. And now I will like to, our speaker has arrived, praise be to God. So at this time, we are going to welcome our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to come and conduct our lesson for this evening with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
Well, I'm in a lot of pain, but I won't complain.
Amen. Good to hear that.
Amen. I won't.
Sorry about the pain.
It doesn't help anyway. It doesn't help me anyway, so I won't complain. I'm just thankful I'm still here.
I know. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go into prayer. And precious and heavenly Father, just once more and again, a few of your humble servants gather together this evening to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to speak to one another and to speak about you one more time. We bless you. We love you. We thank you for waking us morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. We thank you for the sunshine, the rain, and Lord God, help Evangelist Hilda with that pain. Allow her to just persevere and for the pain to slacken up so that it won't be so bad for her. Lord God, we love her. We love you. We thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for who you are, for what you do, for your love for us, all the things that are so great about you, your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your compassion, your understanding, your favor, your generosity. Lord, we love you. And God, again, if there's anything I have omitted for the best of it, bless everyone that's on the line. Bless those who are listening in the archives and on their computers. Just bless us and we will be blessed. Keep us and we will be kept. And God, we thank you for this season because we know it's Christmas time and you are the reason for the season. And I'm so glad about it. So again, we thank you, Lord. Bless our families. Bless our friends. Bless our enemies. Just bless everybody, Lord God, and give us more love for one another, more kindness for one another. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful.
Praise God. So we're going to pick up where we left off, which is talking about the imputation of sin. And that is chapter 37, the imputation of sin. We left off on page 258, section B.
Yes.
The relation between Adam and the race. Amen. Is Brother Jacob with us tonight?
No, he's not.
Okay. No problem.
Maybe he forgot.
Though Paul clearly states the fact that all men sinned when Adam sinned, the question remains, how did they do so? What is the relation between Adam and the race? And that's a curious question, and that has always been said that when Adam sinned, everybody sinned. All mankind sinned. So any thoughts about that before we get into what the author thinks?
Well, for me, I believe that it's we all sin because Adam was the first human, so he was the first one of the human race. So through his sin, we sinned.
Okay.
So the sin fell on the whole entire race of Adam.
But remember, we weren't here when Adam was doing what he did, he and Eve.
Right, but then after Eve gave birth to two sons, the sin continued because, well, we didn't, they continued through the sons. When the other son killed the first son.
Okay, but we're still talking about Adam. But anyway, let me go on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Historically, two answers have been given. They are commonly labeled as A, the federal or representative view, and B, the seminal or realistic or Augustinian view. Number one, the representative view. This views Adam as the representative of the whole human race, like he was saying, so that when Adam sinned, his sin became the ground of condemnation of his race. No one but Adam actually committed that first sin. Like I said, we weren't there. But
right.
Since Adam represented all people, God viewed all as involved and thus condemned The word federal means covenant and indicates that Adam was appointed to represent the race in the so-called covenant of works. Because the covenant had sinned, the guilt of his sin was imputed to each of his posterity. Hosea 6 and 7 is cited as a reference to this covenant. So let's take a look at Hosea 6 and 7.
Okay.
After Daniel.
Yes. Here we go. That's 6 and 7, right?
Six or seven.
Okay. So 6 and 7 says, but like Adam, you broke my covenant and betrayed my trust.
Okay. And I'm going to read 6 verses 4 through 7. And this is the Message Bible. What am I to do with you, Ephraim? What do I make of you, Judah? Your declarations of love last no longer than morning mist and pre-dawn dew. Hold on a second, please. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
What? Huh?
I said, no problem. I get the same thing.
Yes, it's a pandemic.
Yes.
What am I to do with you, Ephraim? What do I make of you, Judah? Your declarations of love last no longer than morning mist and pre-dawn dew. That's why I use prophets to shake you to attention, why my words cut you to the quick, to wake you up to my judgment. Blazing like light. I'm after love that lasts, not more religion. I want you to know, God, not to go to more prayer meetings. You broke the covenant just like Adam. You broke faith with me, ungrateful wretches. Wow.
I love the way he said that.
Okay.
I'm grateful.
That's what That's what it means. So what does that mean? What does all of that kind of mean?
Well, let's see what it means. They wanted to do sacrifices, and they broke the covenant, so God didn't want their offerings because it wasn't done in you know, the true meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And he says, I'm after love that lasts, not religion.
Exactly.
So you doing all those things, sacrificing, and but that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an act. That's just a tradition, something that you were taught and you do, but your heart is not in it.
Exactly.
So that's why he calls them ungrateful wretches.
Well,
you know?
they were ungrateful.
They turned away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Call themselves following him, but they turned away from him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, the seminal view. The seminal, realistic, or Augustinian view sees Adam as containing the seed of all his posterity, so that when he sinned, all actually sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Mankind was not merely represented by Adam, but was actually organically joined to Adam. Paul's concept of racial solidarity seems to be a universalizing of the Hebrew concept of family solidarity. A tragic picture of family solidarity is seen in Joshua 7:16-26. Chan is discovered as the cause of Israel's defeat at Ai. Achan blamed no one else, but in the administration of the punishment, everything connected with Achan was blotted out of Israel. Hebrews 7:9-10 furnishes another example of the seminal or germinal concept in the human race. The writer plainly stated that Levi, though not born until almost 200 years later, actually paid tithes in his great grandfather Abraham. The ancestor Abraham contained his descendant Levi. Similarly, our ancestor Adam contained all of us, his descendants. Therefore, just as Levi did something in paying the tithe, so we did something in sinning in Adam. Thus, Adam's sin was imputed to each member of the human race, because each member of the human race actually sinned in Adam when Adam sinned. I came across an illustration of imputation in a sad experience a former student had. This man, Bill, shared the expenses of a ride home at Christmas time in Joe's car. On the way, another car went through a stop sign and hit Joe's car broadside. At the time of the accident, Joe was driving and Bill was asleep in the car. Because Bill was seriously and permanently injured, he sued to collect damages from the owner of the other car. But that owner, or his insurance company, tried to prove negligence on Joe's part. Bill's attorney wrote to him in part as follows: and if the jury finds that he, Joe, was negligent, it will undoubtedly be imputed to you, and you cannot recover. I don't think that there is anything that we can do to change that situation now. What linked Bill to Joe and to Joe's possible negligence? It was the fact that Bill had shared expenses. Money joined Bill to Joe and to Joe's actions.
Mm.
Humanity joined all of us to Adam and to Adam's sin. We all share in Adam's sin and Adam's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
We are all equally guilty and in need of a remedy for our sin.
Wow. What a story.
Right.
Mm.
What do you think of what was just read?
I don't think that, if he was sleeping, why should he be partially responsible for what happened? He didn't know what was going on because he was sleeping.
They're saying because they were together and paying the expenses.
Right.
So because he was paying a portion of the expenses, he's partly responsible. I guess had he been a non-paying passenger,
mm-hmm.
or even owner, they may have looked at it differently. But because they shared the expenses, they declared that he too was negligent even though he was asleep.
Wow. See, that's why I don't go to sleep in people's cars when we go, when we're driving. I stay awake.
Yep. I hear you.
I want to see what's going to happen or what's going on. You know?
I know. Exactly. But knowing, too, that if something does happen, there's no way you can prevent it.
Right.
You'll just be awake and an eyewitness to the, you know, the situation.
Yeah.
But prayerfully, nothing will happen. So, and we always pray. At least I do. Always
absolutely.
Pray.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I
before
pray
we
when
get
I get
into
on
the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before you get into the vehicle, you need to pray.
That's right. Absolutely. God, take mm-hmm. me safely and bring me back safely. Don't let
please.
Anything happen
please.
To the driver.
Right. Watch over us all.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a look at Joshua 7. I'm sorry, go on. Joshua 7 and 16 through 26.
Okay.
16 through 26.
Seven, six, 15, 16. Okay. Early the next morning, Joshua brought the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Judah was singled out. Then the clans of Judah came forward, and the clan of Zariah was singled out. Then the families of Zariah came forward, and the family of Zimrah was singled out. Every member of Zimrah's family was brought forward person by person, and Achan was singled out. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound gold, more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with silver buried deeper than the rest." So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent and found the stolen goods hidden there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites. Then they laid them on the ground in the presence of God. Mm. Then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goat, tent, and everything he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will not bring trouble on you." And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and buried their bodies. They piled a great heap of stones over Achim, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Trouble ever since. So the Lord was no longer angry. Wow. I mean, why would he do that? Because when you go into war with some with another clan or tribe or whatever you call them, why would you take their spoils, especially if they're sinful? But he didn't care.
But that's what they did in war. They would plunder.
Oh.
As the victors, they would steal, they would take what was left behind by the dead, you know?
Yeah.
The ones they had conquered. But they had been told ahead of time not to take their stuff.
Okay.
But he said, I took it. I took it because I liked what it looked like and I wanted it for myself. So
because
I took it and I hid it. So he knew it was wrong. That's why he hid it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it was wrong, but then he had to confess it. And that's when they went and got it. Somebody went and got it, dug it up, came back, got his wife, his children, his cattle, his this, his that, and this, took them outside and stoned the whole family to death because
and
of that sin.
And the thing about it, was it all worth it? You died for material things.
Yeah,
your
well, I doubt if it was worth it,
family.
But of course it wasn't worth it, but why would he do it to begin with? But you know what? I don't know if he knew that he would lose his life over that. Because first of all, he probably thought nobody would find out. You know?
Everybody finds out everything in those days.
Well, not to mention, don't forget the day, too.
That's true, too.
My grandmother said, what's done in the dark will come to the light.
Yes.
So it may not come out right away,
mm-hmm.
but eventually
it
that thing
out.
That you do or did will be known. It'll be made known.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was greed, pure greed.
Wow.
And that's what they call temptation. He saw it.
He covered it.
He tempted it. Yes, he covered it. That's the word, covered it.
He saw it. It belonged to somebody else. He wanted it for himself, and he took it.
Yep.
And that's the way he said it. I saw it. I wanted it. I covered it. I took it.
You lost your life for it.
You lost your life, and your family lost their lives behind it, too.
Yeah. All because of his sin.
Yes. Because
and
of his disobedience.
It's funny how back in those days, if the head of the household did something wrong, the whole family have to pay for that sin.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
And that happens in a way today when somebody is in prison, when they're incarcerated, their whole family
suffers.
You know, punished because they're parted, they're separated from that now criminal, you know, and whether they're guilty or innocent, the ones that are left at home feel this hurt, this pain, and it's even more hurtful when you find out that the one that's incarcerated is innocent, you know, somebody lied on them and they stay in there for years. For generations.
Years.
Yeah, for decades is what I'm trying to say. And then when they finally get someone to come forward and declare that they are innocent, like the Innocent Project and all of that, and they get freed, that's a wonderful thing. But look at all the years they wasted.
Yes.
Behind bars.
They didn't get to see
away
their
from,
children grow up.
Away from their family and not to see their children grow up, even if they had children. Some don't even have children, you know, because they went in young and they weren't able to have a family, you know.
Exactly.
So, but many times the family is rewarded. Not that that changes anything, but it makes it a little less, I guess, I don't even know the words.
I know.
So when they incarcerated for the wrong reason, innocently incarcerated, and when they do get freedom, they're given millions of dollars. I mean, it's a little late, and it can't replace all that time that's been lost in jail, but they do now have a little something that they can feel
some kind of joy about. Yeah,
but that's a whole life that's been lost because of somebody telling an untruth. Somewhere, you
absolutely.
Know? And a lot of times, the one that did the crime is in jail already for something else, and then they finally realize, oh, let me confess. You know,
look at the man that confessed about the five women that he killed.
He's
in prison dying. So why wait until you are dying to tell the truth?
Well,
that's not
going
to save you.
No, it's not going to save him because I think before he confessed about killing the five, he had already been given 189 years.
So now
they tagged on another 25 years.
I might as well go ahead on and tell the truth now since I'm going to rot in this prison anyway.
That's right. That's right. But thank God, because it gives the family of the murdered person some kind of closure, some kind of, you know, help, because they were wondering all this time, who did that to their loved one?
Exactly.
Who could do that, you know?
And really
from what I saw, they said that 13 people were killed, but he confessed to five. They didn't really get to... you know, get the information on the other seven. But we don't know.
No.
Hopefully he's sorry, but they say he didn't even show any remorse when he was talking to the judge. So he's not even sorry about it.
Nope, he's not. He's just probably sorry he got caught. That's the only thing he's sorry about.
Knowing he's gonna die in jail. Let's look at Hebrews 7, 9 through 10.
Oh, okay. Hebrews. Galatians, Hebrews 9.
7, 9 through 10.
Oh, 7. Okay, 7, 9 through 12, you say? 10. Okay. 9 and 10. Okay. So verse 9 says, in addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collected the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. I'm a little baffled about that. What does that mean, that it was already in him?
What was already in him?
He was saying that the tithe of Levi was already in the body. Okay. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collected the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him.
Let me read the message.
Okay.
And I'm going to start at the beginning of 7. I'll read 7 through 10. Melchizedek, priest of God. Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the highest God. He met Abraham, who was returning from the royal massacre, and gave him his blessing. Abraham, in turn, gave him a tenth of the spoils, that's that tithe. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Salem means peace. So he is also king of peace. Melchizedek towers out of the past without record of family ties, no account of beginning or end. In this way, he is like the Son of God, one huge priestly presence dominating the landscape always. You realize just how great Melchizedek is when you see that Father Abraham gave him a tenth of the captured treasure. So that's like Melchizedek was representing the church. You're supposed to give your tithes to the church, whether you give it on the gross or the net. I heard Nadine yesterday say you give it on your gross. That's your choice.
Right.
You give it on your gross or your net.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
But anyway, and more for them if they get it on the gross.
Yes.
But so where is it? You realize just how great Melchizedek is when you see that Father Abraham gave him a tenth of the captured treasure. Priests descended from Levi are commanded by law to collect tithes from the people. So priests that came from Levi are commanded by law to collect tithes from the people, even though they are all more or less equals, priests and people, having a common father in Abraham. But this man, a complete outsider, Melchizedek, collected tithes from Abraham and blessed the one to whom the promise had been given. In acts of blessing, the lesser is blessed by the greater. So in acts of blessing, the lesser, Abraham, is blessed by Melchizedek, the greater. Finally, at 9. Or look at it this way. We pay our tithes to priests who die, but Abraham paid tithes to a priest who, the scripture says, lives, and lives is in quotation marks, meaning he still lives. Ultimately, you could even say that since Levi descended from Abraham, came from Abraham, who paid tithes to Melchizedek, when we pay tithes to the priestly tribe of Levi, they end up with Melchizedek. So when we pay tithes to the church, Melchizedek, the priestly tithes of Levi end up with Melchizedek, with the church.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help a little bit?
Yes.
Not really. Not really. Well,
somewhat. I mean, like,
somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're saying that we already discussed this probably a few years ago, that Melchizedek was compared to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so when Abraham was paying tithes to him, he's giving a tenth of whatever he got, the spoils from the war, whatever. He's giving it back to the highest priest at that time.
Right.
Amen. And so that absolves him from things. And the lesser one is being blessed by the greater one because he's giving him a tenth of whatever he has.
Right. Of everything.
I hope that helps someone.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we're going to go on, and that's talking about, again, the imputation of things because it said that Levi wasn't even born when this kind of thing was happening with Melchizedek and Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But still the tithes had to go to Melchizedek.
Exactly.
Going on. Part 4, the transmission of imputed sin. Imputed sin is transmitted directly from Adam to each individual in every generation. Since I was in Adam, Adam's sin was imputed to me directly, not through my parents and their parents.
Nope.
Imputed sin is an immediate imputation, that is, directly, not through mediators between Adam and me. So it came directly from Adam. There's no in between because of us being a part. part of the seed that came from Adam, it came directly to us. So
Amen.
This contrast with how the inherited sin nature is transmitted, it comes to me from my parents and theirs from their parents and so on back to Adam. Inherited sin is a mediate transmission since it comes through all the mediators of the generations between Adam and me. Charted, the contrast looks like this. And
okay.
It's got a chart. It shows a comparison of how inherited and imputed sin are transmitted. Inherited sin, okay, it starts with Adam. It goes down to his children, Cain, Seth, Enoch, Irad, Enosh, Kenan, and me. So through all of those children, it comes
it
down to me. This comes from imputed sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, inherited sin.
That was inherited.
It's inherited sin.
Yes.
Huh?
I said yes.
Imputed sin, again,
mm-hmm.
came from Adam. It
mm-hmm.
went to Cain.
Mm-hmm.
It went to Seth, another one mm-hmm. of Adam's sons.
Mm-hmm.
And Enoch, Enosh, Irad, Kenan, and me. It looks the same, really.
Exactly.
Imputed and inherited. I mean,
the sin was still inherited and it was imputed. So,
and it came to me.
And then it came to us.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I tell you,
it's
just fascinating the way things are.
The penalty of imputed sin. Physical death is the particular penalty connected with imputed sin. Physical death is the particular penalty connected with imputed sin. Inherited sin, you remember, is spiritual death. So physical death is the penalty that comes from imputed sin.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual death is the death that comes from inherited sin.
Okay.
So we die with the imputed sin, and we
mm-hmm.
get the separation with the inherited sin.
Amen.
Does that make it a little clear?
Yes.
So let's take a look at Romans 5:13-14.
Okay, Romans 5.
Romans 5.
13-12. Okay, Adam and Christ contrast. 13 says, yes, people sin even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin
mm-hmm.
because there was not yet any law to break. True.
Mm-hmm.
Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was
mm-hmm.
yet to come. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's go on, unless you have a question.
No, I was just looking at the commentary on 13 and 14. That's all.
Okay, you want to share it?
Sure. It says, Paul has shown that keeping the law does not bring salvation. Here, he adds that breaking the law is not what brings death. Death is the result of Adam's sin and of the sins we all commit. Even if they don't resemble Adam's, Paul reminds his readers that for thousands of years, the law had not yet been explicitly given, and yet people died. The law was added, he explained in 5 and 20, to help people see their sinfulness, to show them the seriousness of their offenses, and to drive them to God for mercy and pardon. This was true in Moses' day, and it is still true today. Sin is a deep discrepancy between who we are and who we were created to be. The law points out our sin and places the responsibility for it squarely on our shoulders. But the law offers no remedy. When we are convicted of sin, we must turn to Jesus Christ for healing. Adam was the counterpart of Christ. Just as Adam was a representative of created humanity, so is Christ the representative of a new spiritual humanity. Okay, so that explains it.
Thank you, thank you. And I like to read Romans 5 and 20 through 21. You made reference to. It says, all that passing laws against sin did not produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end. Grace invites us into life. But that sin, when we break the law, produces death.
Amen.
But praise God. Thank God for the grace.
Thank you, God. Yes, indeed.
On and on. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your grace and mercy.
Yes, yes. And now this is the last paragraph. I think we're going to finish this chapter tonight.
Okey-dokey.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Part 6. It says, the remedy for imputed sin. The remedy for imputed sin is the imputed righteousness of Christ. The moment anyone believes, Christ's righteousness is reckoned or imputed to that individual. Just like sin was imputed to us because of Adam, now because of Jesus Christ, once we become believers, that righteousness is imputed to us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
As all are in Adam, so all believers are in Christ. And being in him means that his righteousness is ours.
Yes.
A vivid illustration of this came to me in my student days. A criminal in the century was soon to be executed for murder. His story received an uncommon amount of publicity because he had willed that the coroner of one of the cornea of one of his eyes should be used in what was then the very new procedure of corneal transplant. Further, the recipient was designated prior to the criminal's execution, and indeed the two men met before the execution was carried out. This made great human interest copy for the media. In due time, the murderer was put to death. His cornea was taken from his body, and by the miracle of medicine, it was transplanted into the eye of a blind man who then could see. Now, suppose some policeman should have tried to arrest that man who received the cornea and have him executed because he had the cornea of a murderer. Any judge would say, but that cornea that formerly was in the body of a murderer is now in the body of a man who is righteous before the law. Therefore, the cornea is as righteous as the man is. And that illustrates my point. I was in Adam and justly condemned to die because I sinned when he sinned. But by a miracle greater than any surgical procedure, I was placed in Jesus Christ. And now I am righteous because he is righteous and can stand before a holy God uncondemned, from being in Adam to being in Christ. That's my story, by the miracle of his grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's that Romans.
What a testimony.
When he talks about that. Yes. Thank God.
Wow.
Thank God. Thank God for his grace.
God be the glory for his
grace. And thank God for his son.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Mm. Praise the Lord.
My Lord.
So we got to stop here at chapter 38. That'll be our next study.
Personal sins.
Imputed sins, inherited sins, and now personal sins.
Personal. And where these personal sins going to take us? Oh, my God.
All right. So any thoughts about that, or we just got to...
I'm still trying to recover from this testimony of this gentleman, you know, because he
by the cornea.
Yes, he was blind, couldn't see at all, but because a man was being executed, and he had
a murderer,
yeah, but that doesn't define the person who's getting the money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
The blind man who could not see was grateful.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Wow. Amazing.
Absolutely. This was an awesome lesson. Woo. Thank you. Beautiful.
Yes.
Especially
Thank you, God. Yes.
Mm.
Thank you for giving us your word, Father God.
Yes, indeed. Opening up our eyes. Our ears to hear. You know?
Exactly. So I'm going to close in prayer. Are you ready?
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to ask you. I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you to close in prayer.
I already got my hands folded waiting. Precious and Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We want to thank you for where you are taking us, Lord God. Thank you for bringing your word so strong and loving and compassionate to our ears, that we may hear to our hearts to perceive, Lord God. Thank you for our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, even our enemies, Lord God. And thank you for this murderer who gave his cornea to a blind person that he may see, Lord God. Thank you for your miracles every day. We know that this season is the season for miracles, for love and peace and compassion toward one another, Lord God. Open up our minds and our hearts and guide us where you would have us to go. Let your will be done, Lord God. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross that we may have salvation through him, Lord God, that we may one day see our loved ones, our mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers again, Lord God.
Thank you for forgiving
us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God.
Yes.
We love you, Father.
We love you, Lord,
so much, not because of the season, but every day that we are here to praise your holy name, to give you the glory and the honor, Lord God. Thank you for your creation, Lord God. Thank you for the beautiful moon that was shining so bright last night, Lord God, through the clouds, Lord God. It was awesome. Thank you for allowing me to see that, Lord God. We love you. We honor and adore you. Go down by the heart. Nursing homes, prison cells, juvenile halls, Lord God. Somebody, Lord God, is calling upon your name, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty special way, Lord God. Heal them where they need to be healed, Lord God. Guide them where they need to be guided, Lord God. Let your will be done in their lives, Lord God. Touch our president and his family, our vice president and her family, Lord God. Touch all of those in authority, Lord God, that they may make the right decision for the for the people and for the country, Lord God. And Lord God, give us more peace in our hearts, Lord God, that we would have more love toward one another in this time and every time. We love you, we adore you, and we praise your holy name. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, Lord God.
Again,
thank you, thank you, thank you,
Father.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
amen.
Be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So, you have a wonderful evening. Love you.
Yes, ma'am. You too. Love you
and
too. But before you go, before you go, I just want to say that, the Covenant Avenue ladies are having a ladies and ready event on December the 10th. I don't know if you got the email.
No. They're having a ladies what?
They're having a ladies in red affair on December the 10th.
December 10th.
Huh?
Oh, that's on Lady Nadine's birthday.
I know.
So
I don't know. If you want to go, I'm planning to go. She said she's going to go.
Oh, it's a Sunday. I don't know.
So,
I don't have to see because Sunday is a very busy time for me. You know, because
I forgot what time it is. I have to look at the email again.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's $65, and you could pay there, but I would let them know that I'm coming, even though they say you could pay, you know, at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to wear red. It's all red, no pink, no burgundy. It's red.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it should be very nice. I heard Nadine said it was nice the last time she went, I think 2 years ago or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So maybe talk with her, but I can send you the email. Not now. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to go. I've been looking forward to it. So, and I haven't paid anything yet. I just have to arrange my time, you know, my schedule to attend.
Yeah. How was the affair yesterday?
The concert.
Yeah, the concert.
The concert was beautiful. It was.
Oh.
I've been to several. We've been a part of several, but this was the best one yet. I mean, the music was awesome. We only sang two songs. We came up second, but the children, they were just so.
And
Noelle, she's a director par excellence. She's my God, she's something else. But they were awesome. The place was filled. They were up in the balcony. The balcony seemed like it was filled up. The sanctuary was filled up. It was a packed house. We'd have found room for you. You would have got a seat, but it was packed. And that was a rainy day. You know,
yes,
it was raining most of Saturday. Yes, yes. It was raining
but
when we went. I think it's flashed up, but when we were coming out, it had started again, lightly. But it was beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad. I am very happy to hear that.
Yes, yes.
You know, people they want to get out now. You know, they've been cooped up for so long. And, you know, events like this, they want to get out. They want to go and enjoy themselves, enjoy life.
I know.
And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
Well, they're talking about the pandemic being on the uprise, so you have to wear your mask again if you had stopped, especially indoors.
I just got over it, and I definitely don't want to get it again.
Right. So just be aware that saying is on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
So wear your mask all the time if you can.
If I go in the hallway to the garbage room, I put the mask on.
Yeah, because you never know who you're going to encounter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So that's not a bad idea. Wear it, put it on. It may be inconvenient, but you don't want to get sick.
Exactly. I've been through it, so I don't want to go back through it again.
I know you've been through it. I know you've been through it. People think it's over, but I be telling people, no, I know a couple of people have just contracted it, so it's not gone.
It's not
gone.
And
they keep telling you on the news that it's on the increase.
Yeah.
It's on the increase. Because, again, around the holiday season, people are coming together, and they're, you know, they're trying to have parties and family dinners and going out to restaurants. And so we had a nice time at the restaurant, too, you know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we had, Valerie had scheduled it from 8:30 to 11, and I figured I would get out of there at 10:30. Everybody got out of there before me.
What?
I was the last one to be picked up.
Oh, no, your ride was late?
I got out of there. I didn't take Accessoride. I was waiting for Kenneth. I didn't dare take Accessoride because I know how messy they can be.
Absolutely.
But, I told him to pick me up at 10:30. He got lost.
He
didn't get over there until about 2 minutes after 11.
Wow.
So I was
but
by
somebody
myself.
Somebody stayed there with you until he came, right?
Did you hear what I said?
No.
I was by myself.
No.
Yeah, they all went. They took their buses or whatever way they went home. Ubers or whatever. So it was okay, because it was a restaurant.
No, it's not, because that's why a lot of times I don't go to places, you know, especially if I know I'm going to be left there by myself. When I see everybody start going, I panic, because I don't know the I don't know the area. I don't know where I am.
Yeah, but you're not going out. But listen, you're not going outside. You're going to stay inside until your ride comes.
Oh, you stayed in the restaurant.
Hold on 1 second. I have to answer this.
Okay.
1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have answered it. I'm sorry.
You like me.
That was Accessoride talking about my thing, but they always leave a message if you don't answer. So what I'm saying is I didn't feel any kind of way. I just felt like I'm sitting here for half an hour waiting, you know, for him to come.
Yeah.
And I was calling him and stuff. And I said, well, look for, because that number was hard to see. You know, it's on a building far back from everything almost near the highway. So unless you really get over there, you don't see the number.
Exactly.
But he saw some other restaurant that had lights all around. That's not us. That's not where I'm at. But anyway, they left. I was fine because, like I said, I wasn't going to go out and wander around. So it wasn't nothing
different. The place was closed and you were standing
on the place was
outside.
Not closed. I would have been. I would have told you that. The place was still open, but they do close at 11. Close at 11. But the place was like... I won't say packed, but it was a lot of people in there.
Yes.
So they're still eating and drinking and talking and, you know, having fun. So I felt fine. You know, I felt fine.
Okay.
Just that I was over there at a table that was holding about 18 people. Now I'm over there by myself. So they rearranged the tables again. And I stood up for a while thinking I would get a, you know, immediate pickup, but I didn't. So I ended up sitting down. Oh, it was all right, though, because like I said, it was all right, and I prefer that to waiting for an Accessoride, because God knows what time they would get there, you know?
They are so unpredictable.
Tell me about it. The food was good. I bought something home. I had like half a chicken, potato salad, and the green, and cornbread, and it was tasty.
I never been there. It's a soul food restaurant.
It's a barbecue. Barbecue. Well, so I guess you could say it's soul food, but they call it dinosaur barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, I never been to that one. I think my sister went to that. She and her daughter, where they had went and celebrated one of them's birthdays.
Well, if you remember, we were supposed to take Apostle and First Lady Nadine there last year.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah. We were supposed to take them, and then he declined, so we couldn't, you know, follow through.
Yeah, true,
but
true,
we got
true.
To go. Yeah, mm-hmm. We got to go this time. And it was nice. But one thing, too. They got a special sauce, which I didn't realize I should have been putting it on my chicken. Because other than that, it was just, you know, it wasn't. Next time I put the sauce on my chicken. I don't know why I didn't think about it, but it probably would have enhanced it. But the chicken was nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chicken, it was tasty.
Oh,
I could have done better with the greens. It had no meat in it, you know, which is what I wanted. But it was a little too much vinegar in it. And it was good. I'm not complaining. It was good.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was nice. And Robert and those came too.
They came after they took this.
Yeah, they thought they weren't coming because Nadine said, "Oh, I gotta help Robert take the equipment," but they ended up leaving it in the church, and they came on over. You know.
Okay, that was nice of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought you were. I think I told you that. I thought you would come, but you said you had to ride. Your sister was going to take you home.
If my sister don't take me home when she's up and ready, I would. She and once she sit down and take off her shoes, that's it. That is it. I would have to end up taking a taxi home. So I said,
I hear you.
Let's go, baby. I'm ready.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Because my sister, you know, she's that type of person. After a certain time, she starts to get, you know what, itis.
Yeah, okay. But you know what I meant to do? I meant to give you some money for the birthday. And I didn't get a chance to. That's the least thing I was thinking about. But God willing, since she said she's coming, you know, on the 10th, I'm going to give her a card then, God willing. I'll give her a card then.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I hope you can come. Let me know if you can. And like I said, I'll try to send you forward this Gmail. Maybe I'll try to do it now after I get off the phone with you.
Uh-huh.
And so you can at least read it and see what it's like, you know. And
yes. Yeah.
Over to tonight or tomorrow, get back to me and let me know what you think, okay?
Mhm.
Okay. It would be lovely if you can. If you can, I understand that too. But it would be lovely if you can.
All right. Thank you.
Love you. Hugs and kisses. Have a blessed night. Shalom.
Shalom. And on that note, we are out. Praise be to God.